On with Mario Lopez.
Hey, you're all with Mario Lopez. Joining me now in studio, Bill Nye, the Science Guy. Welcome back, sir. Thank you for taking the time.
It's so good to be back.
Congratulations. Season 3, Bill Nye Saves the World.
Yes, binge it. Turn it up loud.
That's right. Over on Netflix. Of course, how are you saving us this season?
We're saving us in 6 ways. That is to say, there's 6 new episodes. One of them's about the wars that are going to happen over clean water if we don't take steps. Then there's one about the nature of consciousness.
Ooh.
Whoa. Whoa.
That's deep.
When you look at it, it is deep. So when you talk with a dog.
Okay.
Some of my best friends
are dogs. Which I often do, by the way.
Yes. Some of my best friends are dogs. Maybe my my only friends, really, are dogs. They're thinking about something. The dogs are thinking about something. But I don't think they have pondered their place in the cosmos.
Well, that's the luxury of being a dog, though. You have no sort of worry in the world. You're
that's
always
right.
being
they're
taken.
They're not paralyzed it's like, by doubt.
Exactly.
Yes.
They're like a baby. They never grow up, and they're always just wanting
There's
to be
no,
taken
like,
care of.
There's no, like, self-recognition, right?
Well, there must be a little bit.
I mean,
so anyway, so where do you draw the line?
Right.
There's a gradient of dog to bonobo, chimpanzee, gorilla, human. Then somewhere below there's old boss. And so there's a show about where you explore this question. Then we did another show on addiction, which is very important.
Oh, wow. So some fun stuff, but also some very serious
addiction
stuff.
Addiction is hilarious. No, I interrupted you. Yes.
How do you determine the topics you want to cover?
We sit around and argue about it. We discuss, the writers and I.
And then
we look at the, you know, world news today.
Okay.
And how do you determine what a pet is thinking?
Well, watch the show.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah, Frasier. Let's pay attention here. And if you do watch the show, you notice one of the hallmarks have been celebrity guests.
So yes.
Who are some of the fun people
back
we had?
In the day, we had Mario Lopez.
That's
years
right.
Ago.
That's right. And I would love to be invited back.
You're just saying.
Pardon me?
You're just saying. You're just throwing that out
just
there.
Just throwing that out there for the Bill Nye team. As a matter of fact, I think they actually did, but the one time the schedules didn't sync
line up.
But, you know, since you picked up again, we'll see what, you know, we can make that happen.
Well, we started down some road. I think they get celebrities that are willing to show up. You have to go all the way to Culver City.
Yeah,
for those
Culver
who are listening,
City.
Culver City is part of L.A.
It's yeah.
Not, it's near Los Angeles International Airport. Not especially close to Burbank Airport.
No, it's not.
Not especially close to where we are right now, Universal City Walk.
Correct. But
Universal Studios City Walk.
Little geographical inconvenience, never hurt anyone, especially
not around here. We just get in the car and listen to whatever it is, our podcasts, and we drink and eat the food that we bought before we got in the car, and we answer faxes and all this stuff.
It's like a mobile office, you're right.
It is, a car.
Another episode is about the foods of the future.
The future!
Will we ever have a fast food that's healthy or actually good for you?
Well, I mean, that's all these people do. We're at City Walk, Universal City Walk. Every other place of business is a healthy fast food. What are you talking
about?
You can get
only
in the fist fight,
here.
But their claim is that this juice product is better for you than eggs or that I don't know.
There's only one sushi joint that when you're eating the sashimi, that's about as if you're going to go the healthy route. Other than that, a lot of delicious places. I don't know if I'd label them as healthy, though.
Well, but the premise is... You know, and then they have the heart healthy menu, and there will be a little picture of a heart.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's a big fad. It's all the rage to be gluten free.
Right.
It's
right.
Not rice or potatoes. It's gluten free. But wait, couldn't it just be rice or potato? No, it's gluten free. So I guess yes, there someday will be healthy fast foods. But the fun fact is. Back in the 18th century, 19th century, apparently there was a law in New England. You couldn't serve lobster to prisoners more than twice a week because it was considered a junk fish.
Right, the cockroach of the sea. I've read that
yeah,
before.
But
look at
now
that.
Now we pay premium top dollaring for our lobstering, yes?
Right.
So things change.
Things do
Who
change.
Who knows what the future holds?
Well, we were just discussing ribs the other day, how they were sort of... disregarded.
You mean beef ribs?
Beef ribs or pork ribs? I don't know if it was specifically.
Okay. Meat,
yeah.
Animal, dead animal rib thing.
Right. And a dead animal rib thing. But they were what? They give them to the slaves.
Yeah, it was a scrap meat.
It was a scrap meat. Now there's whole restaurants dedicated.
The kids are all into it now.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
And we all love ribs.
We just discussed a rib joint that's only open 3 days a week. They're so successful.
Used to, and so kale was a weed. You know, now it's a whole thing.
It seems like very L.A., though. The whole
oh
kale,
no, you go anywhere
gluten.
In the U.S. and Canada, they're serving
it's just,
kale.
It's a fad. It's like people are into it right now, but it's still terrible.
I don't remember growing up and ever hearing the expression gluten-free or gluten anything.
No.
For that matter, right?
Yes.
Is it just a certain way to market and a hustle in how you're...
Well, a lot of people with celiac disease, it's a serious, you can't have too much wheat.
What'd they do back in the 70s, 80s when
they
you
suffered?
They suffered.
Well, I went to elementary school with a girl that would eat shellfish, shrimp or lobster, and then she'd get a piece of ice because her throat was swelling up and she was going to suffocate.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Yeah. But she took it, they just took it for granted without acknowledging for a while that she had a food allergy.
Oh man. Yeah. Food allergy.
Well, she figured it out.
Yeah. You learn it the hard
without
way.
Without dying.
Right.
Why do you think that there seems to be more food allergies now than there was?
Oh, there's much speculation about this, my friend.
Yeah.
What's your theory?
Well, I'm not an expert on this, but apparently one reasonable hypothesis is that we have made our environment a little too clean. That when you're a little kid, you're not exposed to enough different things. But this is a hypothesis.
That makes sense.
It's also reasonable that we have introduced some insecticide that has made your immune system not able to handle peanuts, for example. That's also possible.
Hmm.
But there is apparently absolutely no connection between vaccinations and food allergies.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a hypothesis that's been set aside.
Got it. I know you've been doing a lot of speeches lately. What's the most important message you're passing along to people?
Science rules. This is to say, the word I'm loving right now is enlightenment. For those of you who ever took any history, the guys who...
Great word.
Mm-hmm,
it's a great word.
It's a great word. If they got a whole movement, they capitalized the E in enlightenment. It was Thomas Jefferson, Ben Franklin, some British philosophers were thinking deep thoughts about thinking deep thoughts. And they realized that the scientific method or the process of science or this idea that you have a hypothesis, design a test, test it, see what happened and compare it to what you thought would happen was really a very good idea. And you could learn about nature in a way that their ancestors were not, for some reason, able to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then they extrapolated that into let's make a government. Let's design a government using the same ideas of rational thought, of reasoning. And so that's what I'm all about these days.
Nice. Love it.
I'm all about reasoning, the enlightenment.
Right.
Let's be enlightened.
Yes.
In the U.S. freaking Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, refers to the progress of science and useful arts.
I don't know how you can argue with science.
In the limited sense, that's about copyright and patent laws. But in the bigger sense, they bothered to include it in the freaking Constitution. What do you want from us, people?
How much more do you want?
And then everybody's running around right now talking about being an originalist. That's a thing to be. Like a Green Bay Packer fan. I'm an originalist and a Green Bay Packer. I'm not really. I'm a Seattle Seahawks fan and not an originalist. So what's built into the U.S. Constitution, what is part of the method of science and rational thought is change. That's what we do. We examine a situation and go, well, we should have 10 more amendments, the Bill of Rights. So if you're an originalist, what about the 11th Amendment? That one doesn't count because it was 6 months after the other one? Like, what's wrong with you people? Come on. What's built in is change. In fact, this is the huge idea that's going wrong in other parts of the world. Russia is getting a guy that's going to be president for life, essentially, Vlad Putin. And Xiaoping, am I saying it correctly? The president of China is like sort of going to be president till he's dead.
Right.
And that doesn't have change. And you're just going to go backwards and it's going to suck.
Yes. So essentially saying it's so important to evolve in your thinking.
Things change. People change. The world changes.
Sure.
Used to be fewer than 1.5 billion people. Now there's 7.5 billion people.
That's amazing.
Got to make some changes. Got to eat lobster.
I concur. I want to get back to dogs for a second because we're all dog lovers. I remember we talked about this not too long ago on a segment. Science.
Did you have a dog on the panel?
We all have dogs. And
but was there a dog here on the microphone?
That particular moment, no. However,
but there was. You had representatives.
We have representatives.
The dogs had representatives.
My dog was living vicariously through me, as he often does. But science was saying you shouldn't allow your dog to sleep with you in bed. It's bad for them and you.
Oh, that's up to you guys. Okay. I'm not going to get into the dog. I'm not a dog.
It's not going to.
That was a headline, though.
Opinion.
We went off it, right? And I said.
So, but the dogs that I know.
I said science goes screw itself.
Seem very happy to sleep.
That's what I think.
Now, I do. Okay. The dog's on top of the covers and I'm under the covers. Now, is that what you guys are. Not
That's our move. Not only is it on top of the covers. A blanket, a dog blanket on top of the blankets on top of the bed.
Okay, well then I can't get, that's I mean, the these are, from my experience, has led to no catastrophe, except look at me now.
Right, exactly. I bring it up because that's one of the only times I can think that I disagree with science.
Because the article specifically was like, science says.
Yes, yeah, but you've hit the nail on the head. Somebody has this hypothesis and is making this claim.
Right.
So that claim can be evaluated. And we can compare that person's hypothesis to your expectations, and further tests can be run, and we can reach a rational conclusion. We can reason. So this is a perfect example of a claim to be evaluated and a new method of operation to be introduced.
Yes.
Instead of saying, he's an authority, so I give up. Which right. It's going nowhere.
Which I think most people do, by the way.
Well, no, but you have to rely on authorities. Now, if there is somebody who has studied military tactics in the Middle East, it's very reasonable that that person, especially if he's a military officer, knows more about it than you do as a former casino operator who maybe had interactions with an adult film actress.
I'm surprised he knew all about you.
And so the military person might be worthy of consulting when it comes to military tactics in the Middle East. By way of example off the top of my head.
Sure. Just random thought.
Yeah. Anyway, this is the wonderful thing about science is it's always changing.
I have something I really want you to listen to and I want your...
We're on the radio. Let's listen.
Let's listen to it. Well, I want your scientific opinion here. There's this audio clip that's going
viral. Oh yeah, everybody
right
loves
now.
It. The L or the Y?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Some
Yanni
people think it's saying Yanni. Others hear Laurel.
Well, before you start, let me tell you an anecdote all about
me.
I was introduced to this yesterday. With somebody's phone, another interviewer. I don't want to shock you, Mario, but there's other people who ask me questions on the TV.
Not as cool, but whatever.
No, they suck. She played the clip on the phone, and I thought it was the L sound. Laurel.
So did I.
But this morning...
We're on the same page.
A different phone, a different interview,
yes.
I thought it was the Y sound.
So did I. So that's what's tripping me out. So I thought I had personal issues. I mean, I do have personal issues, yeah. But I thought I had personal audio.
So what I wonder is, have we further run tests? Like, what have you been listening to before you did this test? So hit it. Hit it again. That sounds like Yanni.
See, that sounds like Yanni to
Yanni.
Me, too.
I'm now hearing Laurel.
He's
no,
hearing
no, no,
Laurel.
Shut,
look, you're lying.
I've never
you're lying.
No,
and you're going, you're going for shock
steady.
Value.
Steady.
Hold on a second. Now, wait. Here, that was on his. Now, listen to me, people.
No, it's deep breath. Before you go any further.
Hold on.
He can't.
I want you,
he can't.
We're
going to
change one thing at a time.
Wait, hold on. On the heels of that, because I want you to hold on.
He's wearing cans. He's wearing headphones and you're not.
That's okay. Take off your headphones.
You put on his headphones.
No, wait. No, let's do that. Take them off, Chris. This is my scientific experiment.
Yeah, okay.
Go ahead. You take it. Okay. Play it again.
Laurel.
Okay. Now hear this.
That's
now hear this. Hold on. Listen to this on my phone now.
Yanny. I'm still hearing Yanny.
I'm hearing Yanny.
I'm hearing Laurel now.
But see, earlier... I've heard Yanny almost all day, and then earlier, Kyle in the back played it on his computer. I heard Laurel.
Something just perfectly cool and subtle. I want to find out why this is.
But why do you think the mind, like... Is it playing tricks on us? Or are we?
Well, I'm speculating by hypothesis, which I present to the listener for your evaluation.
Thank you.
Is the dialect of English you speak?
Yes.
Whether or not you see it in print before you hear it, and what has happened to you earlier that day?
Huh.
What conversation did you? What songs were you singing before you did this test? But today I'm hearing Yanny. Yesterday I was hearing Laurel.
See, Bill and I are on the same page. We're on the same page.
You can hardly tell us apart on the wide shot.
Before I let you go, sir, I want to put you on the spot.
Let you go. We just started.
I know. Well, I hear you're a busy man. We can keep talking.
You
know what? Let me ask
you. Don't you have any yard problems you need to ask about?
No, my yard is fine. The insurance. Last time you were here, I was picking your.
No, it was the hydroponic.
No, he was right. He was right. The tree. That was my hypothesis. Is that the tree, because of the wind, took it down. Long story short, to bring you up to speed, I settled with the insurance company.
But the ground was saturated and the wall blew out.
It's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. But we thought it was a tree. I ended up settling.
There's
didn't,
not
didn't
much
get
stuff.
Fully reimbursed.
And that's what happened. So you have insurance for these purpose. For
right.
this purpose.
But they're in the business of not playing full claims, I come to find out, when they're big.
Okay, so everybody, in your experience, if I give you, what's a substance? A bucket of
weed.
Flour.
Oh.
Would you say weed?
Yeah. Weed.
Weed. Weed. A bucket of, that's a perfect example. You have a bucket of marijuana leaves, or you have a bucket of water.
Okay.
Which is heavier?
Well, they're both, the whole the same.
No, it's not a pound of nails thing. It's a bucket. It's a volume.
The
water is heavy.
The water.
Yes.
The water.
Water is massive.
Right.
So if you fill a yard full of soil behind a wall full of water in a very strong Southern California rainstorm, which we have twice a year.
Right.
The freaking wall blew out. And your insurance company pointed that out to you. That your wall didn't have a lot of drainage.
So you took sympathy on me.
Was
my theory not with the wind and the trees pulling the wall down?
Well, I think it was a combination, and your insurance company settled with
it. But don't you agree that the wall, you would see signs of stress, and you would see it sort of begin to... It just doesn't explode onto the street. You would see signs
of
stress.
Bill, I'm sorry for bringing this back up.
There would be like a cracks in the wall, right? Come on.
He's wiggling his fingers, imitating a brick or a block.
The wall held
failing.
Up for 100 years. All of a sudden, one rainstorm, it's going to just explode on me.
So if you like to generalize from a single example, which is very common with humans, correlation leading to causation. In other words, you see something and you presume that it's the cause of everything.
Well, based on history.
Maybe climate change caused an extraordinarily strong rainstorm.
I don't know if insurance
on
covers
your
that.
Hillside.
I don't know.
Well, insurance companies are going to start covering, are going to start stop covering climate change. And the example right now here in the United States is Miami. Now, Miami is two places. There's Miami and there's Miami Beach. Those are two separate cities, two separate municipalities. The people who work for a living live in Miami. And they don't make that much money. And they do not have city building pumping stations and weirs and all these flood control gizmos to the extent that they have them in Miami Beach. And so when the king tides come, when there's the moon lines up and there's a windstorm and the tide is very strong, or the water comes over the beach very strongly, everybody's car wheels are rusting. The steel car wheels get... a few inches or a few centimeters of salt water around them a couple times a month, and they rust.
Corroded.
And the car company's not going to pay for that.
Wow.
That's the start of things.
What about...
When everybody starts moving out of Miami because they can't make a living, is somebody going to go back and salvage all the copper wiring and pipes? And I don't know, man. Where are they going to go? What are they going to do? Who's going to pay their insurance?
Same would apply to Louisiana people that live on the Gulf,
same thing,
right?
Yeah. In exotic places like
Why
Pensacola,
do they choose to go
Galveston.
Back and build again when you know what's
well,
going to happen
Well, so this is a strange
right?
thing for me as not a native of New Orleans, but people love it there.
It's great city.
And they want to live there, and they rebuild their house in the same flood zone.
That's what happens over and over.
Speaking of the Enlightenment and our founding fathers and so on, it's fashionable right now to say, I'm a libertarian. I'm a libertarian. Everybody should be able to do what they want as long as they don't harm anybody. They should be able to do what they want. All right. Then you have a tradition of medicine where do no harm. And then we all share so many genes as humans. When you see somebody drowning, you sort of have a tendency to help them out. I mean, yes, there's...
depends on the individual.
There's superhero movies with arch villains and stuff, and you let the guy drown and all that. Yeah, I got that. But in general, when the house is flooded, we reach out. Of course, we offer our thoughts and prayers. It's very popular. I don't know if that's the same as not building in a flood zone. But in the communal sense, we might not permit people to rebuild in the flood zone without taking extraordinary steps, like putting your house on stilts or something.
Right, which a lot are doing.
Yeah, well, but not everybody.
Not everybody.
And talking about New Orleans now.
Correct. I was just there. That's
and
why.
So,
I saw
yeah, and
stilts.
So, is it in everybody's best interest to allow people to be flooded again, and have hardship, and have to go to shelters that we all pay for,
mm-hmm.
and have FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Administration, have to show up and destroy a bunch of refrigerators full of food, which are now full of toxic bacteria producing toxins? And do we have to go through that again? Or could we pass rules and regulations not allowing you to do that in everybody's best interest? Because when there's a flood and people are displaced in Houston and have to go to shelters, mm-hmm. it costs me money.
Right.
Because I'm and the same for me when your wall blows out. However, I acknowledge that my wall might blow out. My tree might blow over. I may have made a fundamental mistake about where I live. And climate change may affect me in a way that my ancestors didn't anticipate. So we're all in this together, people.
We are all in it together. But it is fascinating. I've always often wondered that. Why do they keep building when they know
it's
just
a lot of loyalty in New Orleans?
Thing.
It's a big chin stroke for me.
This is a completely different subject. But the Yellowstone super volcano.
I love that.
Should we be afraid of that thing?
Yes, you should be terrified.
Because every
especially
day...
if you live in Southern California, because when that thing blows, it's going to leave ash in Nebraska.
Well, every time...
Wait, Bill.
There's a new... No, there's a new article every day that's like, oh, more rumblings, it's going to blow.
Yeah, well, there's earthquakes, and you know, this. What's happening Friday...
What's happening?
May 18th, anniversary of Mount St. Helens exploding.
Oh, wow.
Come on, who had more fun than that? And so I'll be going to Portland, Oregon, and doing a little talk about volcanoes, volcanology, the importance of volcanoes and understanding the tectonic plates and our place in the cosmos. So, yes, the super volcano under Yellowstone National Park.
Super volcano.
That's what they say because it's real big.
Yeah.
It's apparently huge. And so
it sounds so cool.
It does sound cool. So in Hawaii right now, we have a volcano that's oozing. And geologists call that a shield volcano because if you half close your mind, it looks like a warrior shield lying on the ground.
Okay.
Really? Okay. And then Mount St. Helens was a phreatic volcano. Phreatic is a fabulous word, phreatic, having to do with steam.
Okay.
So if you want to blow something up, put steam in it, man. And so Yellowstone is apparently some of each. You got hot magma and you got water.
That's a super duper volcano.
Oh, man, it's got great potential. So if you got nothing to do.
But the human race doesn't if it blows.
If you got nothing to do, go to Ash Falls State Park near Orchard, Nebraska. Now, it is astonishing. It's astonishing. There are rhinoceroses, three-toed horses, buried by ash from what was effectively the super volcano about 1 million years ago. We're here at Universal City, Universal Studios in Studio City, California, and it has all the or many of the parking structures have a Jurassic Park theme,
right?
Okay, Jurassic Park and those ancient dinosaurs, that's 65 million years ago. Ash Falls, Nebraska is just just a million years ago, where there's mammals running around in North America. The ancient dinosaurs had been displaced. They didn't make it, apparently, through the asteroid impact. So you should go there. It's just amazing. It's a freaking amazing.
That's cool.
It's amazing. These animals are, it's kind of sad. Animals were killed in a matter of moments or hours.
Right.
But they're buried with such fidelity. They're in such good shape, fossil-wise, that they can look at the seeds in their tummies and figure out what they used to eat. Wow. It's really amazing.
So it's kind of like Pompeii?
It's like Pompeii. All right. Wow. It's like Pompeii for three-toed horses.
Yeah.
Look at that.
And it's just like Pompeii. And I mention it because it's the same super volcano.
Yeah.
So it went off in what is now Idaho and buried animals in what is now Nebraska. You know, that's a fur piece.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're driving a car or flying a plane or hiking, that's a fur old piece out there.
See, we always love when you come visit and get to learn
and
all
so
this
it's
cool
just
stuff.
Really cool. And I will say, if you guys have never been to Nebraska, it has its place. It's where all the food is grown.
Yeah.
All the soybeans, sorghum, corn. And these people take it very seriously and they're good at it. And I mention it because there used to be 1.5 billion people in the world. Now they're 7.5. They're going to be 9 billion people. And we feed them because of places like Nebraska.
Look at that.
We're able to feed all these people using genetically modified crops. Ah!
God. Warren Buffett hasn't left there. So
get
special.
Overs it.
All right, now, sir.
There's no better popcorn than you get in the U.S. You just can't do any better.
Than Nebraska?
Well, I think I'm not.
Or
I
modified.
Don't want to call conflict. I don't want to cause conflict, but I think most of the popcorn that comes out really well is from Iowa. I don't want to get. I can't. Whoa! I'm not an agriculturalist.
This is like the Lanny Yorl thing.
That's my go-to snack.
There's rivalries between Nebraska and Iowa. I don't want to get into it. I will say, without revealing too much information, I know. Can we say enchanting?
Sure.
Can we say smoking hot?
Yeah, absolutely.
Women from both states.
Okay.
I've had some remarkable experiences with women from those areas.
My hypothesis has been
unforgettable.
That the Midwest comes in strong.
Enlightening.
It is enlightening.
All right.
Now, I want to put you on the spot with quick questions, quick answers.
Quick question, quick answer. 7:42.
Last movie you saw in theaters?
I was on the campus. I saw... In the movie theater on campus. Black Panther I saw in a real movie theater, but there was one I saw since then that clearly made a huge impression on me. but I saw Black Panther in a real theater, big bucket of popcorn, really cool. You know what? And it was in St. Louis, and this theater that's in a hotel, you can buy a beer.
Oh yeah, those are cool.
So that may have contributed to why it's not rushing.
I'm not down with those. That gets me sleepy. Defeats the whole purpose of enjoying.
You have to
go
to the bathroom.
Oh no, yeah, just moderation, you guys. Moderation.
Yeah, no one likes all about
guzzling. No, you
favorite sport to watch.
Baseball. Yeah.
Who's your team?
Because bear in mind, baseball isn't just a sport; it's a game.
Yes.
You know, you're moving the equivalent of game pieces. You know, it was the movie was Player One.
The Spielberg movie.
Yeah, it was okay. By the premise, by the bit. Beautifully produced, but there was no moment in the movie where I was concerned that the protagonist was going to really be in serious trouble. I knew he was going to make it.
Lacking character development right
now. Well, just there was no real threat of death because they weren't really doing anything.
Right.
They were in video games. Okay.
Yep, I'm skipping out on that.
It's a cool book. The book is cool, but it's hard to make into a movie.
Baseball,
but I enjoyed the movie and I was impressed. Baseball is a game as well as a sport. I grew up in the city of Washington, D.C. I grew up in the city limits of Washington, D.C.
So why are you a Seattle Seahawks fan?
Because I got a job at Boeing. Now, speaking of.
But where's the loyalty to D.C.? Why not a Redskins fan?
Stay with me.
All right. I'm always fascinated where allegiances lie.
So what happened was. I grew up in the city of Washington. We used to go to something called DC Stadium, which is now RFK.
Yes.
After some more gun violence led to changes in politics. But then the team moved to Maryland. Now, civilized people who grow up in Washington, D.C., kind of sort of hate the Baltimore Orioles, and they sort of hate the what Ravens. Used to be the Baltimore Colts.
Or the Colts, now the Ravens, yes.
Yeah, the Ravens is a cool name.
Right.
I am down with the Ravens. And I've kind of relaxed on my hatred of the whole, yeah. I've kind of, but in that interim, where that they leave my city to go to freaking Maryland, why not be in Baltimore? Okay, why not be in Annapolis? Why not be the Annapolis football team? Whatever. Annapolis is a city in Maryland.
Thank you.
I got a job at Boeing, and I lived in Seattle, and I was there I moved there in 1977. The Seahawks were created in 1977.
Okay, so you.
So
okay.
I became loyal. Now,
that
in
I can
the
accept.
Old days, I was loyal enough to Jim Zorn and those guys.
Okay.
But two things happen. Now the Seahawks are like this cool team with this cool stadium, and there was a Seattle Seahawk receiver who was a Pro Bowler named Steve Rabel.
Oh, I thought you were going to go Steve Largent.
Well, Steve Largent is fine, yeah.
Another Pro Bowl great wide receiver.
Yeah, yeah, but Steve Rabel. And he is an outstanding radio announcer. And his radio commentary made me very loyal to the Seahawks.
Okay.
Now, here in Los Angeles, I don't want to cause trouble, but we don't have Vin Scully anymore.
We don't. But he was a hell of a run.
Yeah, and Rick Monday kept a guy from burning a flag. Okay. All right.
I think okay. He's done.
Enough said. Got it.
If I said to you, he was an outfielder when he played, and he did play, and he will often compare modern players to his time of playing. In Seattle, we had a radio announcer for the Seattle Mariners, who was really something. If I said to you a grand salami, you'd know what I was talking about?
In baseball,
yeah.
I would assume a grand slam.
Yeah.
You just come up off the street talking about my grand salami.
So when Dave Niehaus said, it will fly away. He has jerked one for a grand salami. Okay, that was cool.
How
and then he kept doing it.
Yes.
Get out the mustard and rye bread, Grandma. He jerked one for a grand salami. That's freaking poetry.
It is.
I was loyal, very loyal to the Seattle Mariners because of the outstanding. The radio announcers now are great. They're fine.
But there's no grand
salami. Dave Niehaus, by the old ladies, kids. Dave Niehaus died essentially of smoking. Don't smoke.
Okay. Good. We ended on a good note. Getting back to the quick questions.
It's quick questions and some answers
and
now.
Some answers. Nickname growing up?
Beanpole.
So you've always been lean and mean, okay.
Built for speed, not comfort.
Hey. What superpower would you want?
Fly. I would want to be able to fly. There's two superpowers I'd really like. Be able to fly. I think that's not controversial. But I'd like to have a spider sense.
Really?
Wouldn't that be cool? Have your spider sense tingling when you know there's danger.
You know what else is cool? Like the ability to heal people. Walk around like Jesus.
So bear in mind that this laying on of hands has been completely debunked in the skeptic community. Just keep that in mind.
Well, I'm talking
if you are bleeding
superpower.
To death. Yeah. If you're bleeding to death and the guy comes over, let me lay on. You're not going to stop bleeding to death. And I think we all kind of know that intuitively, but it's been shown scientifically to not work.
Okay, good. How do you take your coffee?
It depends. So let's talk about today.
I've never heard someone that fluctuates with
coffee. I'm a fluctuationist.
I go either iced coffee or warm coffee, depending if it's warm or cold, but that's it. I still go with a splash of non-fat one Splenda. You have different... Why'd you give me that furrowed brow?
Because here's what happened was, moments ago, it was quick question, long answer. So you asked me a question, and then you answered.
Because I found your precursor fascinating. I've never heard someone, it depends. I've never heard that.
So let's talk about
this
right now. Let's talk about
today.
Okay,
let's hear it.
Got up this morning. started doing some radio interviews, not nearly as interesting, as fun, as exciting as this one.
Of course.
Don't be ridiculous. But I had cream and sugar in my coffee. I had half an ultra pasteurized, half and half, which is pasteurized with pressure. It's very cool. Oh. Something that Louis Pasteur didn't know would work. He didn't have the technology. And then now, today, and this happens from time to time, I had a hankering for a Snickers bar. With that Snickers bar, I want black coffee because that's got enough sugar happening over here that I don't want any sugar and cream in the coffee.
So if it's a perfect day with something else,
perfect day. We have a day on which we have both examples.
Is there ever a point where you get iced coffee?
Oh yes,
always hot.
Iced coffee. Then I often want sugary something in the iced coffee. It'll take the bitterness off.
Is Snickers always the go-to candy bar
for
your
coffee? I'm a huge fan of the Snick, but don't make me pick.
Snickers always satisfies.
No, so they did a study. This was Bicycling Magazine several years ago.
Bicycling?
Yeah, so moments ago, what did we say? What was your nickname, Beanpole? Because, and then you said you're thin.
I've been leaning.
I've spent a lot of time on a bike. I used to be very good on a bike. I'm okay on a bike now.
I'm assuming not a motorcycle bike.
I had a motorcycle, too. God, they're fun and so freaking dangerous.
They are. No, I don't mess with those.
Yeah, I never had a problem, but man, you could. It's just the physics is bad. All right, so they did a study in Bicycling Magazine of what do you, world-class cyclists, not Bill, the interviewees were world-class cyclists, what do you want? Do you want a Cliff bar? Do you want a Power bar? Do you want a Power Cliff Luna computerized bar? No, they all wanted Snickers. Hmm. These professional cyclists wanted a Snickers. You know why?
You can't substitute.
Because they're just good.
You can't substitute taste. That's exactly what I was going to say.
They're just good.
I agree.
And they're just loaded with, you know, sugary goodness.
Right. Right.
I'm not saying they're good for you. They're just good.
Sometimes it's, you know.
Moderation, people.
Moderation.
You can see right here, I've barely eaten a third of a Snick.
Right. Not like you're going to go home and have about two or three Snicker bars.
No,
tonight.
Can't
That's
do it.
It.
It's you're too good. Much for me.
Thank you so much.
All things in moderation except what? Moderation
Alcohol.
Itself.
Oh, moderation.
Thank you so much,
Weed?
Mario. See you next lap. I got to fly.
Everyone,
Bill Nye, the Netflix season 3 guy.
Bill Nye, save the world. Netflix. Follow him on Twitter @BillNye. Thank you, sir, for stopping by.
On with Mario Lopez.